Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. A lot of NFL to get to today with Clark Judge, one of the best in the business, Talk of Fame Network. Always good to have Clark, veteran NFL insider, 30-plus years. And their content over on Talk of Fame, they've been at it about the same time we have, maybe a little bit less. They are continuing to grow by leaps and bounds, and a terrific place to bookmark and look for content around the National Football League at Talk of Fame Network. Last night, I watched some of LeBron. I said yesterday, I don't care, but my son was given this math assignment, and he was assigned Kevin Love. So the deal is he's got to keep track of all Kevin Love's stats in sixth grade math. And he had to go back the last 12 games and research it, which, of course, you guys know and I know is as simple as, well, you could go to this website and there's all the games for you. But I had to let him figure it out for himself because I'm a good dad in that way. But I did have to explain to him certain things about Kevin Love. So I'm going to be a Kevin Love follower. I am a fan of his game when he's healthy and he's on the court. So I watched quite a bit of that. And the Diamondbacks are becoming addictive. Okay, last night I started watching the game. I had to run him over to club basketball practice. And then I came back and I had the game on and I had four nitwit 12-year-olds in my car. And they're listening to the ball game, and it was good in the world. And I got home in time to watch the end of it. They won. You have to understand, the Dodgers have absolutely unequivocally controlled the Diamondbacks in LA for the last several years. The numbers aren't pretty. Like, they've won five or six games the last few years out there. So to play poorly, as I thought they did on Friday and Saturday, and then come back and play well-played game on Sunday. And last night, you know, the ability to come from behind and get a home run from Jake Lamb, and A.J. Pollock had four hits, Peralta had a triple, and they get a nice win over the Dodgers 4-2. Eric, did you have any idea, I'm about to drop this on you, you probably did, but the Diamondbacks today are in first place. 14 games into the season, the team is in first place. You surprised by this?
I am. Biggest success story of at least the last year, I'd say, in Arizona pro sports.
9-5. Now, there's people watching us that are just laughing, saying, you guys are pathetic. It's 14 games in. You're in first place.
Who cares?
You don't understand how bad it's been out here. You know, people like to talk about us being in the desert. It's supposed to clear 100 degrees for the first time this year, this weekend. It's going to get to 115 or 120. From a sporting standpoint, it's been 120 for the last several years with very few calm, cool days other than the pro football team. Diamondbacks have done nothing. So I will take first place after 14 games. And those of you that aren't happy with it, screw you.
And 2 years ago, Brad, it was like the big splash offseason. They unveiled their 17 different uniform combinations, signed Zach Greinke. There are these huge expectations of not just the playoffs, but possibly even deep into the playoffs.
Right.
That ended with a thud this past winter. Sort of quiet. Not a lot. Signed some good veteran free agents. Traded for Taiwan Walker. Expectations were really low. Overhauled the front office a bit and got a new manager, and so far so good.
Everything has been about baseball so far.
It's nice.
They had this little PR blitz right before the season started about come down and try our new churro, whatever.
Yeah,
every ballpark does that. Every ballpark does that.
But it's so much more acceptable when you're winning baseball games. You can do the fun things, and it's okay because the product on the field is the top priority, not what they're serving at the concession stands.
Well, I found last night, okay, so I was on both the radio broadcast and the television broadcast last night. Television broadcast sounds like a different deal this year because they're not sitting there messing around with all sorts of things to fill time. I get it. Nobody's watching, or at least they think nobody's watching. They were all over baseball. The radio broadcast side has always been about baseball. There's not much, I wouldn't say fun in that booth. So, you know, but it was fine because I wanted to know how the game was going. It's just two different approaches to what they're doing. One is radio, one is TV. One is, you know, fastball outside 1-0. And that's about it. I'm going to get a lot of scores from a lot of games out of town, but I'm not going to get a whole lot of entertainment value. So on the game on the field last night, so Jake Lamb, if he hits like he did last night, he came up with a big hit for them last night in the game that I felt like really made a difference, obviously, because it woke them up. I think they've needed that one big hit here, that one big hit there, and then you like seeing the dugout as excited as they get. And so Jake Lamb comes up with the big one, and the Diamondbacks are able to get the victory. Did you see Rodney last night, the closer? Did you check out his deal?
I did not. I saw parts of the game when I was at the gym, but I did not see the – I saw Lamb's homer, and then the wife took control of the TV, and that was that. So.
One of those deals. Yeah. You know his thing after they win games, they shoot the arrow in the sky.
I do know that, yep.
Okay. If he weren't on the Diamondbacks, he would just be getting crushed for doing that. Because he's on the Diamondbacks, I don't know if, you know, if I'm sitting there with Bob Brenly over a beer, what do you think of what Rodney does after the game is over? I'm thinking it's probably like, you know, just a different game, different era.
But closers are a different breed to begin with. I mean, if a starting pitcher went out there and did that after every big strikeout, there'd be a problem. And Randy Johnson had, you know, he was so dominant, but there were times where Randy was showing off that swagger.
Sure.
And I don't want to really put Fernando, Rodney, and Randy Johnson in the same sentence, but
please
I just
don't.
Did. But, you know, I mean, closers are odd. They do different things. It's just a different mentality when you're trying to close out games.
Well, it's like Archie Bradley's growing this beard that probably has a hummingbird's nest in it. And he's, what does he throw? 9 1/3 innings, no runs, 11 Ks, 3 walks.
Keep the beard.
Grow it longer.
Yeah.
I mean, who's the guy in the Harry Potter movie that had the beard all the way down to his kneecaps?
You would know better than that.
I know from family and stuff. Whatever his name, you guys know who I'm talking about. Dumbledore. I think I got that one right. No, but Bradley's got this beard going on, and he's been lights out, and he doesn't need to go back into the rotation. You almost are afraid to. Because you look at what's going on down there, and it's just a solid situation for the most part. They kicked the ball around the first couple of games in L.A. It wasn't pretty. But 9-5 tied for first place. Eric sent me a story this morning. I've got to get into it today, and I'll probably get into it in the next segment. Yeah, I will get into the next segment because it's going to take longer than 3 minutes. We have come to this deal in sports where everything is about referees. I'm going to do a lot of referee talk today. When I have Clark on in about 20 minutes, I've got to talk to him about Dean Blandino resigning as the head of officiating. And for some of you, you're going to be glazed over by it, but that's a big blow to the league when that main guy who they've just set him up for says, I'm out of here because I'm going to go be on TV. He's probably going to make more jack and have less headaches. So we'll get into that here in a little bit. Outside of the Cavaliers, let me bounce back over to the NBA. Outside of the Cavaliers, I watched some of San Antonio. And the coach for San Antonio, David Fizdale, absolutely melted down after last night's game. Just like Doc Rivers absolutely melted down on a dumb question that was asked after a game on Saturday night. I think you have two coaches there that are feeling the heat. More Doc Rivers. I think he's going to get fired. If the Clippers can't figure this out, they've had Chris Paul there. They have DeAndre Jordan. They've had Blake Griffin. They've made commercials. They haven't done anything when it comes to postseason. And when I say anything, I mean, you got to get to the finals. In Memphis's case last night, San Antonio just went about its business. If you've missed it, breaking news, the Spurs have the longest active streak of making it into the playoffs in American sports. 20 consecutive years. That's better than the New England Patriots. That's better than fill-in-the-blank hockey team, Blackhawks, Red Wings, whomever. It's better than the Yankees or Red Sox, 20 straight years. And last night, Kawhi Leonard had 37-11, and nobody's talked about Kawhi Leonard as an MVP candidate. But when you see Memphis, you've got to resort to tactics like going after the officials and having a meltdown after the first two games because you feel like you're not getting any calls. And that just is a desperate coach. The meltdowns that you have this time of year are coaches that are feeling the heat and really aren't confident, in my opinion, in their ability to beat the team that they're opposing. So they've got to resort to these types of things. Looking forward to watching Westbrook, and it's not even Westbrook and Harden. It's Patrick Beverley. You guys know who Patrick Beverley is? Watch Patrick Beverley against Russell Westbrook. He's on camp lockdown, as he said, and he did it in game one. Westbrook was all over the place. So I'm about the playoffs right now. There's a lot there that I'm liking in what has been an otherwise disappointing NBA season with guys sitting out and all that. And lastly, ESPN insider Mark Stein wrote a big piece yesterday that Ryan McDonough is going to be back as general manager of the Suns. This isn't breaking news, and Mark's had a longtime source within the organization who's been there a long time who feeds Mark, and so I believe this. Anything that comes from Mark Stein, he's got a really good high-placed source within the Suns. Facts are, though, should there be any conversation about has Ryan McDonough done enough here to maintain his job as general manager? And are you of the opinion you want Lonzo Ball here, as I have, even though the dad has caused some problems and some noise? Has Ryan gone about it the right way in building his team? Markieff Morris had a career day the other day in his first playoff game. Yeah, I wanted Markieff out of here like you did too. But the plain facts are the Suns missed on Markieff Morris. Joe Johnson wins a game at the buzzer over the weekend for Utah. Facts are, Robert Sarver didn't handle Joe Johnson right. Yeah, I know, it's a long time ago. It still bothers me to this day.
We have a bit of breaking Suns news off the court. Steve
really?
Albert retired. The TV voice of the Suns is calling it quits after 45 years of
45
broadcasting.
Years of broadcasting.
Just thought I'd get that in there. Just came out.
No, that's good.
It just hit the news wire, as they used to say back in the old days.
I would think that Robert Sarver and whomever would hire, they could do a couple things. They could go locally. They could promote their sideline guy, Kevin Ray, who wants to be a play-by-play guy at that level. They could move Al McCoy back to TV, or they could do a national search, or they could put Tom Leander back there, who's been with the organization for a long, long time. If it's me, I put Al back there, but that's just me. And I go find another. I actually simulcast, but that's just me. That's interesting. Good for him. 45 years. Wow. All right, on the other side, some news in baseball today that is has not broke yet, but when it does, you are going to say, you've got to be bleeping kidding me, I think. Also, the Arizona Republic has dug into Hamilton High School and the hazing and has gotten the records as to when this all started with hazing and who was the person that alerted the school. I'm going to get into that. Clark Judge here in a few minutes as well as we continue on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So when we go to sporting events and the referee, let's just take football, for instance. The football game at the college level and pro level, and now even some high school games that are on TV, the referees are mic'd up. The referee will turn to the crowd. You'll be sitting there. You'll want to know what happened. And he will say what happened. TV networks focus in on him. They pick up the call by the referee. It is all explained. Sometimes referees like to go out of their way and go into explanation as to why they threw the penalty flag. That oftentimes can get messy. But for the most part, the NFL, if the referee didn't explain what was going on, sure, the game would go on. But I think we've all become accustomed to now having officials explain. There are times when they go under the hood, as they like to say in the NFL, and we are left sitting there for 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes as they're trying to figure this out. And it blows the flow of the game. I think basketball is really messing around on dangerous turf by having replays right there. Last night they had a replay in the Cleveland game very late. And the referees, optically, it didn't look good. The three of them go over to look in the monitor, and a big, really big security guard, police officer, are standing there right in front of them as though to shield them and protect them. Didn't look good. So they go about their business, and they explain the call, and it gets fixed, and we go on with the game. But there was a delay there nonetheless. Well, now baseball has looked at all this. Follow me on this one and see if you like this or not. Major League Baseball, while nothing is set, the league, MLB, and the umpires are expected to talk about a plan most prominently used in the NFL for crew chiefs of baseball games to wear a microphone and explain replay rulings. One possible scenario, that would start at the All-Star game on July 11th in Miami. They'd tweak the process over the season's second half and then go forward with the experiment in the playoffs. Associated Press, speaking to people familiar with the talks, condition of anonymity because an agreement has not yet been reached. So already right now we're seeing where games are stopped and they have to walk over, they have to put on the headset, they have to wait for somebody in New York. Fans don't like the waiting game. They'll make the call. We like it when it happens in a hurry where it's quick and we can just move on about our business. The umpires in baseball are in the middle of a 5-year labor deal that any change would involve negotiation. A comfort level on both sides that the system would be efficient, accurate, and easy. Well, I don't know how you make it efficient, accurate, and easy when you're dealing with technology. You may not have the exact camera angle, so you're going to go search for another one and another one and another one. In baseball, it is one of those games where, on one hand, the commissioner wants the game sped up because games are taking way too long. On the other hand, you want to make sure that you get every call right. And I don't know, the beauty of baseball is the human element, at least to me. But then again, I am not a 21-year-old who is walking around all the time, looking down at this, doing their thing while the ball game's going on. I do this at a ball game, but they're fighting with this. Point of it is, when you go to a baseball game and if they stop, Eric, where are you at on this one? I am the of the mindset that, yeah, this is not the worst idea.
I think it's a great idea.
If you've got Country Joe West, he's a country singer, Ted Barrett, who's a minister, Dale Scott, who was a top 40 AM disc jockey, we've never heard umpires speak, right?
No, I love the idea. What do we love and what is, as casual sports fans, do we love about pro sports? We love interviews in the locker room or hearing coaches talk to teams. We love seeing the players walk down the tunnel and hear what they're saying. We love NFL films. Baseball is so non-transparent, and they're trying to become more interactive and fan-friendly. I'd love to hear these umpires on mic going over the intricacies of a close call, and especially if there's a debate and there isn't necessarily real obvious video evidence. I think that'd be super interesting.
Okay, so
it gets away from the traditionalism of baseball, which is one of my biggest issues with the game.
Well, in my space, I guess I look at it, if the umpire is going to explain it to a crowd, and that crowd, let's just say that it's a Diamondback home game, and let's say it's a call that is in favor of the Diamondbacks, then I want to see it on replay as he's on the Jumbotron.
Yep.
As he's explaining it to me. But I also, it doesn't matter if it's the Giants or Dodgers, I want to see it on Jumbotron too.
If you're going to slow the game, if you're going to slow the game down, but make it interesting. There's nothing worse than a 4-minute delay in baseball where the poor announcers are just filling time trying to talk about whatever until New York makes up their mind on what the call is.
But you cannot have an umpire stand there behind home plate, look up into the crowd and say, the ruling on the field after further review shows that the first baseman did not have his foot on the base, thus he is safe. You have to show it. Right? You have to show the play. Even if it makes an angry mob, which baseball is always fearful. Actually, all sporting events are fearful that crowd control be a big part of it. I think if you're going to do it, then you can't just have a baseball umpire explain the play. In the NFL, it's pretty simple. Pass interference. It's being shown on replay as we're watching it.
And how many times does NFL replay get the replay wrong? More often than
correct,
not.
Correct.
If baseball did this, it could, you're right, it could open up a whole nother can of worms.
Sure it could.
But I like being taken inside the action. Baseball has always sort of pushed the fan, especially watching on TV, sort of away from being inside of the game.
But you know, I'll take soccer for instance.
I'd love to hear the manager call down to the bullpen. I'd love to hear that. I'd love to hear those conversations between the bench coach and the manager.
I'll take soccer, which is a growing sport in our country. And baseball is a sport that, unfortunately, in my view, is not as what's the right word? They're not growing as quickly as they should. People want to say they're dying. I don't agree with that, but they're not growing as quickly as they should. In soccer's case, so when calls are made, it's very quick. Card is up. We move on with the match. Different type of fan, I think, than what we see at a baseball game. When we're at an NHL game, okay, when there's a penalty that's called on the ice, they skate over to the center line, they explain the penalty, and they move on with their business. So other sports have shown this, okay? Soccer, they don't talk. They just do a red card or yellow card, and they move on. I think in baseball's case, sure, this is smart. Is this going to make the viewing experience better? Probably. Is it going to make the fan experience better? Again, do they have it figured out from a technology standpoint? This is not a bad idea, but I am sure that there's going to be people that will push back on this. If it's a Yankees-Red Sox game, and it's the Yankees at Fenway Park, and a call is made in favor of, Red Sox fans are blind. They don't care. If it's Cardinals-Cubs, if it's Dodgers-Giants, you take these heated rivalries. They don't want to get a call. It's right. All they care about is it benefits their team. That's it. All right, Clark Judge is up next. We'll talk some NFL with Clark Judge, things around the National Football League. With the talk of fame's 30 years covering the NFL, longtime NFL insider, Clark Judge on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, Clark Judge, as promised, joins us now. If you've not bookmarked talkoffamenetwork.com by now after years of having Clark on the show, then you're just missing out. You can follow Clark on Twitter at Clark Judge, T-O-F. Of course, Clark Judge, longtime NFL insider, and has some terrific stories. There's a piece that the guys did on their show with Carson Palmer and talking about USC and much, much more. You can check that out. I appreciate you coming on. I want to start with Dan Rooney passing away. And I'm curious from your point of view, because you have great vision on this and history on this. How do you think the Raiders and Chargers move would be viewed by Dan Rooney? Because at the end, he was not really there, it reads like, Clark. So I don't know if he was even aware of it. I think that was viewed by Dan Rooney.
Yeah, I'm certain he was aware of it. I'm certain he was aware of it. But he physically, he was in bad shape. But mentally, he was very sharp. He was a very sharp guy. And how it would be viewed, I think he's looking out for the best of the league. And he'd say, let's try to keep them where they are. He was all about stability. You saw it within his own franchise. They've had three head coaches since 1969, for goodness sakes. They don't change people there. And typically when players leave that organization, they really generally don't go on to great things. So stability was all what the Steelers are about, and that came from the top. But I think if he looked at the situation in Oakland and say, well, we've got to do something to try to get the city to respond, the city didn't respond. And honestly, the city didn't seem to be all that interested in keeping the Raiders. So while I think it would have disappointed him, I think you go, there's no other option. With San Diego, might be a little bit different because the San Diego situation, as you know, you and I are pretty close to that. We both used to work there. I think that would have been a little bit different. I think you would have tried to have kept them there. And in the end, I sort of felt like Dean Spanos went, I don't have any other option except to move. And I thought he moved sort of reluctantly. And that was a hasty decision, even though it had been in the works for a while. So I think with the Raiders, it would have disappointed him, but he'd say, we have no other option. With San Diego, I think he would have tried to find one. So I think he would have batted 50% on this one. But the bottom line, Brad, is he wasn't about changing the league, but he was about changing if it was going to make the league better. And I think, honestly, in the Oakland situation, you'd say, we have no other recourse.
Give the fans an idea of how big of a voice he's had in the growth of the NFL.
Yeah, huge. I mean, from Roselle to Tagliabue to Goodell, he was an owner that all three commissioners relied very heavily on. Why? Because he gave them perspective, insight. He gave them a voice of reason. When they didn't know what to do, they turned first to him. They turned to Wellington Mara. Of course, Wellington Mara's gone, too. These old-line owners who are more interested in football than they were in lining their pockets were the people that the commissioners relied on. And those people become fewer and fewer as time has gone on. And Dan Rooney, up until the very end, was somebody that the commissioner, in this case, Roger Goodell, would call because we'd say, like, what do you think? What do you think about this? I mean, he's attached his name to one of the most important rules in the NFL, and that's the Rooney Rule. And honestly, when they were hiring the replacement for Bill Cowher, and I think you remember back then, there was somebody who was on the short list, and somebody we all know in Pittsburgh, we thought that was what's going to happen. And I'm not going to mention him because it's just unfair to him, but in fact, it looked as if he was going to get the job. When the last minute, Dan Rooney intervened and said, wait a minute, I mean, listen, my name's attached to the Rooney Rule. We've interviewed some minority candidates here. We've got to do what's right. My name's attached to that. We've got a capable and qualified guy here, and that's Mike Tomlin. And he made the right move. So Dan Rooney was all about doing the right thing. And again, as I said, it's so rare in today's culture in the NFL to see that here was somebody who was more interested in doing, or as interested, is doing something what was good for the league as it was for his team. And that's what's going to be missed, Brad. I think that voice of reason is going to be sorely missed because I don't know who takes his place.
Right, right. No, and that's the question. My next question to you is, how many of those voices are left that are reasonable?
Yeah. I mean, you would have thought a guy like Robert Kraft might have been one, but he's off the short list. He and Goodell are in different areas. And Robert Kraft, honestly, he's not a Dan Rooney type of guy. I mean, he's doing what's in the best interest often of Robert Kraft. And I don't begrudge him that. He's running a business. Jerry Jones the same way. You know, he's looking at what can we do to sort of maximize our profits. And you look at where are the football people. I mean, when I think about it, honestly, I probably go to a guy like John Mara, Wellington's son with the Giants. He's a guy that when I want to get sort of a temperature read on what's going on with the league. Where should we start next? What I probably start with him. And I thought he and Dan Rooney were sort of the first two calls for the commissioner. Now I think that's probably John Mara. And again, because of the influence of his dad. But, you know, certainly go down the list. I mean, Jerry Richardson's a guy that Roger would contact. But again, I don't think Jerry Richardson's in the same league as a Dan Rooney. So, you know, those owners are few and far between.
Clark Judge with us, longtime NFL insider, talkoffamenetwork.com. You can see all of his content there. He and the team, they do a terrific job. You mentioned temperature being read. What is the temperature being read in the NFL offices about Dean Blandino walking away? And why should this matter to fans?
Yeah, that's a good question. That one surprised me, but probably not as much as it surprised the NFL. I mean, they said they were caught off guard. I don't know when the league office is caught off guard by anything, but this one seemed to. Because when a guy like Mike Pereira, who I'm very close to and known for years, when he was leaving, he gave them about a year's notice and said, you need to find somebody else here, and I should tutor him. Let's do it this way. That's not what has happened here. And I think, you know, by Dean Blandino leaving so abruptly, forces the NFL to make a sudden change and suddenly say, okay, what are we going to do here? I don't think they're prepared for this, and they've got to find someone out there who can do what, honestly, in a lot of situations, I thought Dean Blandino didn't, which was to make this officiating group better. And honestly, I thought the officiating recently has been worse. I don't think that we got a clear message. I mean, let's just go straight to the, you know, the catch rule. No one knows what a catch is. No one knows. And the more I heard from Dean Blandino, the more I realized he doesn't know. And the officials don't know. And I always had a feeling, and again, I'm biased here, but when Pereira was there, I had a feeling they did, that the groups were of officials were coordinated. There was communication among them. And that changed. Carl Johnson went in there and then Dean Blandino. And I'm not faulting Dean Blandino, but something's amiss here. And fans should care because they want to get calls right. And honestly, it took forever to get them right, and sometimes they weren't right. And when I heard the explanations, I didn't get them half the time. Well, Dean Blandino's now gone somewhere where he hasn't worked 80 hours a week and where he can get paid handsomely. But I think he left the NFL in the lurch, and they've got a short period of time now to find a capable replacement to do something that fans have demanded for a long time, which is get these calls right as often as possible and get them clearly articulated.
How do you think Vegas coming in is being viewed by the NFL? There's been a lot of debate back and forth about this. They know what they're getting into, right? Or are we just on the tip of the iceberg with gambling, NFL, national gambling being allowed? What's your view on Vegas and gambling?
Yeah, no, I think that's sort of a conversation for past years. I think that thing is a moot point, and one of the reasons is because the NFL's embraced gambling, to be honest with you. I mean, the DraftKings, for instance, you know, the one-day fantasy football, they're behind that. I mean, they're sponsoring NFL games and NFL events. So I look at that and go, I think that's just a moot point. they're more concerned about players in casinos and you know, casino-sponsored events. And that, to me, doesn't make any sense, Brad. I mean, you go, well, geez, if the Raiders go into Las Vegas, you think you're going to find some of those players in casinos at sponsored events? And the answer is, yeah. But so they're going to find them as they have these past events. When Tony Romo had his, I think it was a fantasy football party or something,
right,
there, and they were going
right
to find him, and he didn't do it. So it makes no sense to me for the league to take any kind of stance on gambling, because they've embraced it, so they don't. They don't take a stand. They say, we're worried more about other things, such as the fan base. I mean, can they support this team? And can they support it for the long run? Yeah, and they talk about people coming down from Oakland. Well, it's not close to Oakland, mm-hmm, but it's close to L.A. And would people drive from L.A.? I think they would. I think they would drive there. But it's an area that's growing, and I think there's an excitement about that. But again, I'm old school, Brad, and I think you probably are too. It really makes me sad that the Oakland area has been left for the second time. But in all honesty, as I said, Oakland didn't do anything to keep him, and that's why this happened. And they got plenty of chances to keep him, and they didn't. But I think people like a Jerry Jones, a Daniel Snyder, for instance, they're excited by the possibility, Robert Kraft, of Oakland coming to an area that they think is growing and that they can actually mine for more money.
Optically, Clark, we're talking about Clark Judge, Talk of Fame Network. You can check it out, talkoffamenetwork.com. Optically, the NFL has taken it's even more than body blows now. And in sports, for that matter, this is an overarching conversation, but the Masters last week was down 11% across the board. And yeah, the weather was great on the East Coast, and we had a terrific ending, but it still didn't resonate. NFL ratings were down, NBA ratings are down. We read about big, massive, massive cuts coming to ESPN here shortly. So we're seeing this whole thing with pro sports. And I'm getting the vibe on my end that the NFL is starting to look at the landscape, saying we better be concerned with the growth of college. And I'm not saying they're there yet. I'm not saying they may never get there. It's just optically, it seems like the NFL is taking all these body blows, and there's some gaps being closed in our country, except for Super Bowl Sunday, that you'd say, you know, the NFL is not as invincible as it once was. Do you agree with this or disagree?
You know, I do agree. I do think, and I may be in the minority in this, but I hear more people at least saying this, that in 20 or 25 years, the NFL may be what boxing is today and horse racing. When I was a kid, my father was telling me there was nothing bigger than boxing and horse racing when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not that way now. I think people always watch it, but clearly there's something going on in this country where people, families aren't raising their kids necessarily to play football. And when I was a kid, they were playing baseball and football, and we couldn't wait. But now with the concussion thing, I think that's a huge, huge deal, as it should be. Parents are concerned about the welfare of their kids, and their kids who play football are concerned about the welfare of themselves. As you see, when these players leave football at early ages and say, I had some concussions, I'm not going to continue this. I don't want to be Junior Seau.
Right.
I don't want to be Dave Duerson. And I think those are contributing factors. And honestly, the advance of technology obviously is a contributing factor as well. People using smartphones, and why should I go to a game? I can watch it on my smartphone. I can stay home and not be charged, $150 for admission and all this for parking and that sort of thing. I can watch it on TV, and that makes it very difficult, too, to embrace the on-site event. So I think pro football, like other sports, has a tough future to face, and honestly, that's one reason they're looking at England, for instance.
Sure.
New market, you know?
Sure.
You can start something new. But I think it's tougher than most because of this concussion issue that just won't go away. They can't make it go away. They try to address it, but you go, hey, what makes this game attractive is what you're trying to get rid of. It's the violence. That's what made it attractive, and you're trying to minimize that, and for good reason, because look what happens to some of these guys in their after years.
Well, in your space, and this will be a pat on your back, but you had the vision of Talk of Fame Network, where the three of you are talking about the great history and tradition and heritage of the game. And I think that was very forward thinking. That said, and hearing it in your voice, I'm curious, what's most interesting to you about present day NFL? Give me storylines that are interesting to you about present day National Football League.
Well, I always start, I know you've heard me say this before, but I always start here in New England. I start with Tom Brady. I mean, to me, that's one of the most exciting stories every year. How does this guy continue to play at this level every year? And he said at the Super Bowl, I'm sure you heard him, he said, I'm in better shape now than I was when I was 25. I feel better after games than I did when I was 25. How is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
How is this guy so different than everyone else? And yet he is. He's going to turn 40 this year, and he just won his fifth Super Bowl. And you look at that team, you say, they're better than ever. How is that possible? We're not supposed to be in an area or an age, an era, when dynasties survive. And this is a dynasty. It's as close to any dynasty as we've had in the last 30 years. And they just continue to do what you're not supposed to be able to do in a salary cap era.
Right.
And you've got a quarterback, as I said, who's 40, who's supposed to be diminished. Had one of his greatest years ever last year. So I start there. I look at that, and I just think it's something that we're not going to appreciate, Brad, until it's gone, you know? And it's not going to go away this year. But it's going to go away at some point. At some point, he's going to retire. He's not going to play another 5 or 6 years, as he said. But that's where I start. I just think that's a fascinating story. I think the Raiders situation, I mean, you're playing in Oakland, but you've told your fans, hey, we're leaving. You know, we're leaving a couple of years here. I want to see how that city and that area responds to them. And that's more of a societal thing, I think, than it is a football thing. Why would you, as a Raider fan, go to see a team that told you, guess what, we're leaving for more money, but we want you to come here and pay money now, give us, pay our checks so we can take off in 2 years? I think that's an interesting and fascinating story as well. So there are a couple that I start with, and honestly, since I've covered the 49ers, I want to see what the 49ers do in that reconstruction of the team, not just the team itself, but the franchise from top to bottom. Can they be what they once were? And they are entrusting themselves to a guy who has never had a personnel decision to make. That's John Lynch. I like John. I think he's a terrific player. I think he's a terrific guy. But I don't know if he knows anything about personnel. We're certainly going to find out, and so are you in Arizona.
Yeah, what's interesting about this, I'll let you go off this, is Brady's going to retire someday. We don't know if it'll be when he's 50 or around the corner. We know the Raiders are going to move. It feels to me like there's not the long list of player stories that there once was in this league. That you look at it and you could just list off Pro Bowl player after Pro Bowl player. Even the Pro Bowl is not that big of a deal anymore. And it feels like the league just doesn't have those marquee players top to bottom anymore. Am I missing something here?
No, I think you're getting warm. Absolutely, on the Pro Bowl. Pro Bowl is an embarrassment now. It's a joke. I mean, everyone just wishes it would go away. But you're right. I mean, you've got the Aaron Rodgers. There's somebody that's been Roethlisberger's. I mean, and we're talking about quarterbacks, but you look down in Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott, maybe Dak Prescott gets people excited. But I think you're right. I don't think we have those people. Honestly, when we had talked to some of these guys that you know on the Talk of Fame Network, I mean, they're guys that are just a multitude of people that are Hall of Fame worthy. Born in the Hall of Fame, you know, but they're Drew Pearson, first team all decade in the 70s, not in the Hall of Fame. It's somebody you want to talk to because he was a great player. It just seemed like the landscape was populated by those guys, and I agree with you. Maybe it's because the careers are they just seem, but some of these guys who are coming up, you know, J.J. Watt. I don't know what's going to happen to him. Is he going to play again? Yeah, he says he will. Is he going to be the same as he was? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if his career is over. Luke Kuechly, I don't know what's going on with him. I mean, is his career going to be over? I don't know. But now we've got a completely different situation, as I said, with these concussions, whereas we didn't before. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But we're talking about guys whose careers now are jeopardized by head trauma that we didn't acknowledge before, and so therefore they're sitting out games where they would have played before. I mean, and Steve Young, I mean, you know, he saw him end his career in Arizona, but Steve Young had a multitude of concussions when I covered him. He played. You know, he came back and he played. But that's not the situation anymore. And I do have this sort of feeling, and maybe it's because we're older, that, that the landscape's not dominated by some of the luminaries that we remembered in the past, although there are some, as I said, and typically they tend to be the marquee positions. But, Julio Jones is another one. But, I think you're getting warm there.
Stay well. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
You got it. Thanks.
TalkOfFameNetwork.com, www.TalkOfFameNetwork.com. Appreciate Clark Judge being with us. Good stuff there. On the other side, so Eric was out at the Cardinals yesterday in the weight room. We put it up on the website. We'll bring you that. Devin Booker is in the news cycle a little bit today on a fun story. I'll have that before we get out of here. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmann. So if you're just joining us, the Suns' longtime TV broadcaster Steve Albert announced his retirement today. So there's some Suns news. And they'll have to find a TV. I wonder if Dave Pass should be in on that. He lives here. He travels a lot. We had Dave on the media podcast a few weeks ago. And you can hear that on the website on sports360az.com. Devin Booker, here's what happens. There's a tweet Devin Booker put up. We've got it here. And Devin Booker is doing Call of Duty today. Guys, do you know how much I wish, and I'm not making fun of Devin Booker. I'm just, it's the story here. It's, you know how much I wish we were talking about Suns versus so-and-so in game two of the NBA playoffs tonight, but we're not. Instead, it's Devin Booker doing Call of Duty online because that's what 20-year-olds do when they miss the playoffs. Again, I'm not ripping Devin Booker. It's all well and good, but it just speaks to, come on, guys, can we get this figured out once and for all? Man, that's just so disappointing. The Cardinals opened up their weight room yesterday. It was their first day of having workouts within the weight room where the media could come on in. Eric swung by and checked it out.
There are no egos down here. We're all working for one thing, to put our guys in the optimal position to be successful. It's good to have them back in the building. We've been chomping at the bit, waiting for this day to get on to 2017.
We always have over 90% of guys who participate in our season workouts. So we have a very close-knit football team, great leaders here. Lowe's been here 13 years. He's still coming and getting a workout in with these young guys, trying to show these guys growth, because at the end of the day, all we can do is just pass on our knowledge, show these guys how to get better, show these guys how to get to that level.
I'm a gym rat. I love working out. I love training. Our lifting coaches always give me a hard time and tell me that I actually need to stop training some days and rest.
We got some work to do. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. Instead of worried about being on Instagram and Twitter and all this other nonsensical face social media stuff, that which I can't stand, I loathe, and get their money back, because we got some guys who need some work.
There you go. Good stuff there. Got to have a strength coach who doesn't like social media. That's part of the drill. So today, this is a busy Cardinal week. So today, Eric and Jordan are out at the Cardinals at noon. Steve Keim and Bruce Arians are going to sit down and answer questions as delicately as possible, is how I put today's event. They do it every year, and it's about the draft. And they're not going to lean into a microphone and say, we really like this player at number 13, and we think this player is a flat stud, and this is who we're going to take. They're not going to do that. So it's the art of dancing around questions without – today is a whole bunch of saying nothing for about 45 minutes. It's just maybe even 30 minutes. But it's something you need to be at, because maybe you can find 12 seconds within the 30 to 45 minutes where they actually did say something, where they actually did say, this player we think has two left feet and can't play dead. They're not going to say that. This player we think can really help us out because we like what this guy has. This guy's got a high motor, which is another way for saying he plays hard. He's got a big arm, which means he can throw it a lot of places. Big strong arm means he can throw a lot of places. They're not really sure where it's going to go. So it's I don't know. It's part of the fun around the draft is this day, because nothing comes out of this that's, to me, interesting. You got to really dig hard and dig deep on this. Otherwise, it's just a whole bunch of, so are you excited to get a player at 13? And what do you think? Of course we are. So that's going on. And tonight, Shelby Miller throws. So I'm looking into that tonight. The Diamondbacks are in San Diego tonight. We'll be watching that on Fox Sports Arizona. Following tonight's game, two more of our airings of Brad Sismat Football AZ. We have 14 airings of the show each week. We appreciate the partnership with Fox Sports Arizona. Our content is up on our website at sports360az.com. We're Arizona-centric. We launched something last Thursday called Forums. Go on the homepage, upper right corner. It's all about college and high school football recruiting that Jason Jewell heads up. Jason is terrific. If you want to check it out, it's on the website, upper right corner of the homepage, Forums. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He didn't screw up today. Edwin Rodriguez oversaw Jared, or didn't oversee him, but stood over his shoulder. He didn't screw up. Eric got out of here early. He was so into today's show, and Jordan did too. And I'm Brad Sismat. Thanks for being with us.